life, universe, and everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
Well, hello and welcome to Spirit's Work, the metaphysical and spiritual show designed to open your minds to the greater possibilities of life. Thanks for joining us. For those with us for the first time, what makes Spirit's Work so unique is that every week, Mick Avery demonstrates his exceptional gift of deep trance channeling live on air. He channels an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay, who is the spokesperson for a group of evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. They're an educational group and are here to give us knowledge and information that we'd never have access to in any other way. This week's show is another program with our listeners' questions. So if you would like to participate, it's not a reading style show, but it's anything that you would like to know from a spirit guide that you think that he may be able to help you with, to do with metaphysical subjects or planetary subjects, spiritual development, anything like that, then do call us, and it's toll-free in the U.S. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. International callers, it's not toll-free, but it's only a quick call, and it's 001-530-876-3222.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com, every Sunday at 10 a.m. PST, at 6 p.m. GMT, we have another radio show, and that's called Spirit Teaching, and that's on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 4 p.m. PST, that's midnight GMT. If you would like to know more about us, our books, CDs, maybe book an Akashic reading, or any of the other services that we have to offer, please go visit our websites, which are at www.spirit-teaching.com. Also, at www.spiritsworkradio.com, and now at for European and UK listeners, and the information is at www.mickavery.com. Now, as Sylvie said, I'm a deep trance medium, which means I'm a pure channel for the spirit world, enabling clear, concise communication from those who continue to walk with us and who try to look after us. In this way, each week on our show, Sylvie has a conversation with our spirit friends so they can give us the benefit of their wisdom, and as a result, we can get a different perspective on life, which means having choices and options we never realized were available to us. When I go into the deep trance state, I will not know of anything that happens until they bring me back, the spirit team that is. And that is how it should be in this case of genuine deep trance mediumship, because we wouldn't want any of my own thoughts from my mind or my own learning experiences and perhaps biases of my physical life, the feelings from my mind, to get in the way of the contact, because this show is all about you receiving pure spirit communication. So you don't want anything from me or from the physical earth life to be involved in it. So that's kind of basically it, and I'm going to say goodbye for now. Hope you have a really good time, and that I dare say that the experiment will work, because it's never failed yet.
Yeah.
So okay. All right then. Thank you very much.
Gregory was asked before his physical life in the early 1700s if he would like to be the representative of this educational group who are going to be helping the people of the earth discover a more harmonious way of life. The group want us to understand the implications of what we are doing to our planet, to aid us on a road to recovery and raise the vibration of the planet in the process. The group consists of eminent scientists, physicists and scholars, as well as ordinary people, and between them they have vast knowledge and insight. They try to help us to look at the bigger picture of life and to help us to think outside of the box and explain situations that affect us and our future and the future of the planet. So if you would like to send us any questions by email at any point, because maybe you're listening to this on an archive or something like that, and you don't have a chance to interact with us on the program, you can always send your questions in to us at enq@spirit-teaching.com at any time, and I will put the questions to Gregory for you. So the thing is, you might just have a whole program that you would like us to talk about, in which case give us the name of what it is you would like us to do, and also hopefully as well some questions to go with that. That would be very helpful as well, so that we make sure that we cover everything that you are interested in. And this is what it's all about, that the spirit world wants to come to help us to answer our questions. They don't want to just come and nag us all the time about getting our acts together. And so if you have some questions, we're all pretty much the same, and we're all searching, so we welcome your input at any time. And also we do Akashic readings, although this program isn't a reading style show. We do Akashic readings, where you can have a one-to-one with Gregory at any time in the week. So if you'd like to go to our website, www.spirit-teaching.com, and go to our Akashic Readings page, you can find out more about us and the process on there. And I can help you with any inquiries that you may have. Okay, so I do believe Gregory's with us.
With love and light and blessings be upon your pathway and upon each and every one of you who may be listening at this time or any time during the future.
Thank you. Okay, well, I have a list of questions here, some more questions from various people. Let me see, where shall I start? Okay, here's one. This is from the UK Collective. They are very active in their natterings, they call it. They've been nattering and come up with a few things for us.
Yes, yes.
So, anyway, here we are. It's about the world of money, really. And they were basically discussing the situation, and this is what they came up with. That the American dollar will cease to exist, presumably. China controls most of America when it comes to money. All world money will be replaced by new currency held in vaults in China. Okay, this is okay, you can answer the whole thing afterwards. The dollar crashing will cause catastrophic events and civil wars, as the pound and euro will follow suit. The only currency left to barter with will be gold, hence the adverts to buy and melt down gold in preparation. If this is the case, why are we all worrying about paying off our credit cards, as it sounds like everyone will have to start from scratch? It would be good for me if we could all trade skills and pay each other that way. So, there's quite a few different situations there, Gregory.
Yes, there are, my dear friend. I am very much familiar with most of them, with the situation in particular of the last part that you have illuminated to do with the barter system. Now, I have to say, my dear friend, there are many planets, many civilizations which rest upon the barter system. It's something that many beings create, in a sense, an efficacy of their ability to be productive to one another, and also for them to be able to uniquely construct certain situations in their life plan or their life pathway that will then be helpful to others. So this is a situation, of course, which even in the earliest times of modern human history, that there were situations to do with the barter system. It's only really because it became so that there were such large figures and sums involved in it that there had to be some kind of currency developed within each land, because they all each developed their own form of currency, instead of perhaps, say, taking 100 chickens or something like that. Obviously, it's a bit bulky And there are many people still, I understand, on in your current state of life, dear friend, where there are people who have many goats. And the many goats that they have denote their affability, their ability to attract more wealth to themselves. But for some nations, I understand it's to do with many tents, or how many teepees they own, or how many wives they have, or something like that. Everything, apparently, in human history can be bartered at one stage or another, including human beings. For many people, those of the times of when slavery was something very much enacted upon human history, and it hasn't been that long since it was taken out, so say, from human history. It's not, of course, but we'll leave that one for the moment. That in actual fact, prior to that, there were many, many people who were bartered for one deed or another. And in fact, many people born in slavery were never ever to see the light of their own freedom. So we can understand that in terms of the barter system, there are good and bad parts of it. There are the good parts, which mean quite simply that you can exchange goods or services for one thing to another. The good things that some people are using for their spirit state and their good gifts of consciousness will be something of creative learning that is then beneficial to others, and they would simply pay for their services in however kind that then is orchestrated. Of course, the primary situation here is really to do with food or a roof over one's head. Now, returning swiftly then to the matters in hand at this present time, you are stating quite categorically, really, within this piece, that of the U.S. Financial house and the way of its own system and its strengths and weaknesses, or potential weaknesses. That, in many respects, my dear friend, has been the case for quite some time, I understand, not in the scheme of the Earth civilization or anything like that, but certainly within the certain immediate past, that within the last 20 years or so, there has been a great debt created between America and China, purely and simply the last wars that have been fought from it, to do with both Afghanistan as well as both Iraq wars and numerous other insurgencies from one situation to another, have in fact been funded in the main by many Chinese people and Chinese governments. This is in actual fact because they could see it as a potential lever. And in many respects, one could say that the Americas have created their own impasse, really, to do with the whole and complete annihilation of their own infrastructure to the benefit of others. This is part of the problem, I feel, that North America, in particular, at this present time, running as it is out of natural carbon fuels and that kind of thing, even though I understand that the Americas are actually still finding more oil fields and that kind of thing, deeper gas exploration, different situations that are being created that will, in fact, refund certain other securities for the North American peoples. And I do not rule out, my dear friend, the possibility of even further fields being won and also developed in many respects, particularly on the northwestern coast, sadly, which will of course upset many people who are really trying to bring about the cessation of this particularly in merit of whales and the well-being of dolphins and various other marine creatures, because obviously they always seem to come off worst whenever there is any kind of gas or oil exploration in any sea. And that's really just simply because of the careless nature of the whole dynamic and the fact that these companies are very seldom held to account. Perhaps eventually this will be something that maybe human beings will come to understand. However, I think it is a tall order perhaps to make, because we do not see that people on your side of life are actually that bothered. Not realistically. Realistically, people in physical life are predominantly looking at very great specifics to do with themselves. It may not matter, in fact, to many people whether their currency dies off or not. It may well become that it is simply a sense of release that people have when their currency finally passes from your present existence, and that you then have to develop something else. Of course, through that development, there are always going to be those people that win a great deal from it by creating those kinds of advances that mean that they are first in the power struggle and interpretation of what currency might be. This will simply mean that those who have the greatest power create the greatest advantages through it. And it will always intend to become that those people who have very little will continue to have very little, unless human beings actually do something about the system in which you inherit from one generation to another. If you don't want to, then you don't. And it will take a great deal of energy to change it nonetheless. However you feel that you would like to think of it. We can see then quite clearly the advantages of perhaps maybe a Chinese or one part of your species to take over the power of the world, or the power of the creating of the financial wealth. Maybe that might be a good thing. I'm not saying that it isn't. I'm not saying that it is either. Purely and simply, dear friends, we would have to wait and see exactly how that developed. But I understand that at this present time, Chinese people en masse, those who have developed this assessment and this ability to lend vast amounts of fortune and wealth to other countries, then engaging them, having them in their pocket, in a sense, power over them, simply means that the way forward for them may not be that they actually want to keep that. It may be that they actually want to wring their hands of it, and all they simply want to achieve from it is their interest back again from having taken part in that process. I do not suspect necessarily that all that one race wants upon another is to gain power over them. So part of my situation in answer to this, dear friend, is that it's not necessarily going to be seen as an overture of aggression that Chinese government actually takes upon itself to buy out the American, North American currency or something like that. Because I understand in terms of the world economics that the American currency was previously the barter system, the main central barter system of the planet. The American dollar or whatever it is had been construed as the method of payment for oil, for gas, worldwide. And now it appears that it's something which is coming out of favor because of its instability created by the fractious interests of the North American government from past generations and past administrations to create disarray within their own country and to rape their own infrastructure, simply selling it off so that they could then create the wealth pathway for their own self-interest. That has predominantly been to do with the breakdown of economies, and what North America is currently going through is in a sense hiccuping from that overstretched sale, if you like, of their own infrastructure. Part of this whole situation, I feel personally, is not that I wish to be involved in it. The other part, I could clearly state that it appears to be, from our perspective, a very dangerous precedent that is set when one country buys the infrastructure or raw material resources of another, or that people within another country do so, are allowed to do so. For example, like people in North America being allowed to buy the water rights to another country, I think is completely deplorable and simply shows power interest at its worst. In exactly the same as I understand that there are many companies from both Spain and France, Portugal and Germany who own the water rights to the little British Isles. So none of your water is yours. It's all been taken away, sold off to other countries.
Weird, isn't it?
So you see what I'm saying, dear Ben. This sets a dangerous precedent. If you are willing, as a country, to sell these rights, this expensive, potentially expensive resource, can then simply accumulate, become far more expensive than it need to be, and also be perhaps even funneled or channeled into a different country, if it would be that your present country cannot pay for it.
For
your own water. You are not allowed to pay for your own water because you simply can't afford it, because that company has placed its obligation far beyond your reach because they want more profit.
Not very forward thinking, really, are we? What about, you mentioned earlier on about that many other planets exist by the barter system.
Yes.
By that method. Can you give us any idea on how that works with them? What sort of things?
Yes, quite so. For example, there are many planets like Cebos, like Pleiades, and others, Eranos, who are enriched with minerals of one form or another. And they barter with those minerals to their own state. Some of them, Eros, for example, they actually mine other planets in their own solar system as well. And then they exchange those minerals, very precious minerals, to some extremely precious. And they simply use that as a barter system for perhaps something else that they see as being precious. For some, they actually use those precious minerals perhaps to try to prevent war being waged upon them.
What, like a bribe, you mean?
Oh, yes, absolutely so, yes.
To appease some other race?
Yes, yes. Yes, of course, yes. And this is quite typical of many of the situations that exist. I'm not saying that it's prevalent throughout the universe, but certainly certain quarters of it, and with certain forms of species, particularly those of the various forms of raptor people. Now, I understand, of course, with these different species, that they would simply, if they really wanted it, they would be able to just march into virtually any planet and take over. My point, however, is that they have, for many of those species, of the 500 raptor species that there are, for many of them, they have come to understand that actually by doing that simply attracts greater negativity to them. And unless they are engaged, fully engaged in some, as some of them are, to do with warlike status, they would rather, they can see it as actually being a very negative ploy, and therefore have really, in a sense, come to quite a good deal of sense about the barter system, as it works very well.
Yes, so they work in a more stealth-like way, really.
Yes, quite so.
Okay, so but what if it's minerals that the Eros, as did you say?
Yes,
has.
Yes,
in particular, then they would have to get something that they need from somebody else. What sort of things would they barter with?
Oxygen, perhaps, or maybe some other living form substance which makes up a large part of their planet. Perhaps they're running short of it. For example, there are some planets which have become quite short of natural water, or water that is palatable, water that still is able to support life. And there are those races, various races in the universe, who actually trawl the universe for water on purpose, as there are many great lakes in the universe to do with this kind of situation. There are some which are as big as your galaxy. If you can imagine that.
Good grief. No, I can't.
Really. A lake as big as your galaxy and as deep as it is wide.
And so then they take some water, basically. They take the water somehow.
Yes, collect it.
Do any of these species want our water?
Well, actually, my
not
dear
worth
friend,
having now, is it?
No, it's quite becoming more and more poisonous and toxic. However, I understand that there are some beings who are able to tolerate a great more acidity than perhaps human beings, or much of the marine life that actually lives within it. So it may well become a more fertile and stable environment for those beings to then come and live upon your planet of Earth.
That's one of my other questions in a little while, but I'd like to stick on this just for now.
Yes, of course.
To do with what about these other planets then? Cebos, you said, and Pleiades.
Yes.
What do they do?
Well, Cebos is actually similar, quite similar in a sense to the Earth in its earlier stages, and also Mars and Mercury to a certain extent, because they it actually contains a great deal of iron, and but also is rich in other forms of ore, like titanium and tritium, as also uranium as well, various forms of uranium which are derived from various forms of pressure that are created and are a part of lead and arsenic. Some of the earliest forms of structure which are there present in the earliest forms of planet and planet building. So that means to say that in its rawest form, because it is generally, is in a sense generated from the waste products of, shall we say, a particular star or other, because generally what tends to happen is if you have a white dwarf or a red dwarf or whatever that is gradually burning up and it's using its supply its whole situation of creating its nuclear fission and ability to create and to use hydrogen and various other forms of gases, that simply what happens as a result of that is that when it begins to exhaust itself, it sends out many of these minerals from its core energy. So you may well have a white dwarf that's actually not a dwarf at all, but far larger than your own present sun, maybe even 20 times bigger, you see?
Mm-hmm.
And that in actual fact, the amount of heavy metal or tritium or titanium or some other form, and including, of course, many forms of lead and zinc and many other minerals, that these are then, in a sense, flung out from the sun as it begins to break up, as it really, in a sense, its energy creates its own storm because it cannot maintain itself. And so, in a sense, what happens is that its whole structure of its ability to continue to attract all of these minerals and all of itself, in a sense, it's like its magnetism just simply goes into disarray. Quite the opposite, really, of a black hole. So that what, in fact, happens is that the magnetism throws everything out and it dissipates it. And what happens then is that planets can be formed from these masses of chemical structures as they adhere together from their own gravitational field and their own mass. And what generally tends to happen then is that we're able, that many beings in the physical side of life or within any particular universe are then able to farm or manage or create different situations within these minerals. And that's exactly the same as has happened on these kinds of all planets, you see, have a specific base, but their base may change from one to another because of the different alignments of minerals that happen to be about at that time through different detritus that was being thrown off by various suns and stars that were coming to their exhausted lifetime cycle.
So they would barter these planets, different species would barter with between minerals, crystals, oxygen and water,
all
that
kinds
sort
of things. Yes, all kinds of things, particularly because with some who have much more modern technology and understanding, they're actually able then to perhaps, let's see, if there's something that within their own planet that they have exhausted or that they need in order to continue to maintain life or to continue to create the life passage and pathway evolution, then it may well be that they need various different kinds of chemicals and bacteria and gases and goodness knows what, really, from a physical side of life, in order to maintain those states of equilibrium within their own planet, upon their own world.
Well, the thing is, I mean, it sounds like we are so backward here. I mean, you know, you're talking about modern technology. Well, forget that. I mean, they can communicate with each other, for a start.
Yes.
They do communicate with each other.
Yes, via telepathy and via them being able to transpose themselves from one universe to another.
Oh, so they visit each other as well.
Yes, as well, yes.
Mm. So, you know, I mean, this just leaves us standing, really, doesn't it? And the fact that they can actually even have the characteristics and the affable personalities to communicate.
Yes,
with each other, without fighting.
Yes, absolutely. And if you look at it, my dear friend, that the many civilizations who have actually managed to do that and that have been in existence for millions of years.
Okay.
In peace, you see.
Like who?
Well, there are various forms of being that have that are nothing particularly like human beings, but there are various forms of, actually, believe it or not, raptor, who have been in existence for millions and millions of years and have actually become quite affable. Raptors are not all the demons that many people paint them to be. However, there are other races, those with white hair that are some 9 feet in height, that we call aptoids. That's APTTOIYDS. And there are others who are, well, various states of being, I suppose you could say, that have created many different pathways of great change for themselves and for others. That is something of great beauty, you see.
And that they communicate with each other quite happily.
Well, yes, to a point, yes, they do. Well, I wouldn't say that all do.
But we don't like to help each other out if you live on the other side of the planet or on the other side of a river or whatever here. It's just, you know, I mean, and yet these beasts, do you know what I mean?
I understand. And really, I suppose if you looked at it from the position of the time scale, you would actually see that human beings have actually done magnificently well, really, in the short time that they've actually first crawled out of caves. Well, I'm saying that just for the few million years that human beings have been in existence, but that through the third cycle, the last 35,000 years since they've been out of caves themselves, that this is in fact a cycle whereby there have been monumentous changes. Of course, there have also been many great negatives about this too, to do with their many wars that human beings have fought and created.
But that's what I mean, though. I mean, you know, we can't live, the same species, we can't live in harmony. That, you know, that is just bizarre, isn't it?
Yes, I understand that. I understand that. I ask myself many times of every daily cycle that we observe on your side of life, how is it possible for us to continue to bring pleasant understandings to the human race when so few are listening? But we have to still maintain it.
Well, absolutely. But, you know, it's just such an eye-opener thinking about these other species that help each other out like that on different planets that, you know, even Scotland, Ireland, England and Wales. it's territorial, isn't it?
They have been fighting and still are, really, in many respects.
And how big is that? It's so small. It's crazy. Anyway, okay, if you'd like to join us with a question, the phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you. Number is free phone in the US. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's not toll-free. But the number is 001-530-876-3222.
I have to say, though, my dear friend, that there have been many situations we have observed from the afterlife, the spirit world, call it what you will, that of many different species of many different planets have had similar problems when they have lived on small islands.
Okay, yeah.
It tends to pronounce the barrier, the sacred castle of self.
The resources
and also the hoarding that tends to go on within an island system. So, for example, if you actually take various parts of your planet, you would see that if you look at the Philippines, you would see, in fact, it is an exemplary example of harmony because they're not at war with one another. They are virtually at peace. I understand that there are various factions which are becoming creating division within those peoples, and that they are going to have a lot of work to do over the next 10 or 15 years if they are going to maintain any form or state of stability. This is actually because there are great erosions at work to do with spiritual upheaval as well as spiritual digression, particularly the dogma of one religion barking against the dogma of another. So you have the situation of Islamic and Christian situations of that group of islands, and that could be said for the whole group of islands, that there are many conditions now which are becoming very polarized
mm-hmm.
And of course it's something which is, in fact, the balance is going to continue to be presented therein, simply because you have two religions who neither of whom wish to contain themselves. So you have two religions which are looking to reproduce themselves as quickly as possible, regardless of whether they can actually feed themselves or not. And that is their form of obtaining power. Power by numbers. So you have people from the Roman Catholic faith who reproduce as fast as possible in order for them to then swell their numbers of and don't forget, friend, I was a Roman Catholic myself when in the physical side of life. And there are also, of course, those families from other cultures who have done very much the same thing and are actually encouraged to do so. China, on the other hand, is actually discouraged wholly and completely to produce children. And in actual fact, they're trying to cut down on the number of children by limiting that there is only one child per couple for every two people who actually marry and produce children. The situation, of course, is quite different in Japan, whereby the whole situation has reverted to the fact that men have actually broadly lost interest in their wives and actually have a greater fascination for their work ethic than anything else. So therefore, their population is actually decreasing at quite a rate, I understand, at least -6%, if not more. So that means to say that in a matter of 20 or 30 years, the Japanese society will have shrunk by almost a third, purely and simply because there are it's also an aging society as well. So that means to say that in actual fact it will become a society which simply cannot afford to support itself. And this is something which is happening to many societies on your side of life, particularly within those Western fields of domination that have happened in the past.
So, and what about other races, other species on different planets? Do they have that same problem with procreation? And
some do. Yes, I have to say, dear friend, it's not something that is a very. It's something that's acknowledged generally when you have a society which doesn't recognize itself.
Mm.
If you have a people who understand what harmonic they need to create in order to survive en masse, that doesn't mean to say simply growing enough food and then hoarding it and storing it over winter so that they have enough to survive over the winter until the following year, but that, as within the situation of Moses, of course, in his early life, that was something that he actually created on behalf of the pharaohs, simply because he could see that that was a situation that had to be created. The point was, however, within Moses' life, that in actual fact, because he could see it, he then became dangerous to them.
Mm.
Even though he helped them out of many dilemmas, the same situation happens again and again on many different planets. That we have people who develop a system, a situation of empowerment, and then just continue to reproduce en masse, unless they see the understanding of real harmony and real understanding of the ability of correction, that you only breed to the amount or to the limit of how your planet can support you. Mm. And if you begin to run out of the resources, you have to cut back on the amount of people who procreate within that society. Otherwise, you're simply going to run out of space.
Mm. Or
you run out of food, too.
Mm. Or you procreate to however much you can afford to have another child or whatever.
Yes.
How you can afford to bring one up. And
yes. Unfortunately, though, it has been the pattern of the past, my dear friend, that, and we've seen this over thousands of years, that many peoples who are poor have more and more children.
True.
And the reason why they have that is survival of numbers.
Mm.
So purely to have more children means that in the hope of their genetic to then carry on past their own parents' demise. And that means, quite simply, then carrying on the genetic order. That's, in a sense, part of the animalistic behavior that takes place in chimpanzees and many other primates, that we will see that various different forces are available to forms of primate clans, whereby they actually limit, they recognize it, and they limit the amount of people within the clan, perhaps. Usually most clans are not more than 30, or not more than 40 or 50, certainly. And that's simply because what tends to happen then is that the situation of diversity and of energy between one being and another is, in a sense, the harmony breaks down. So that you would simply get another group that splinters off that one and then forms its own group, perhaps a male and three females or something like that, which then attract more males and more females to the group, as well as then procreating themselves. So it continues in that pathway, in that respect. Bees and wasps do it too. So there are many different forms of insect that create exactly the same pathway and pattern when understanding that their population is exhausted their own ability to survive.
Okay, so I mean, there's all this talk about us trying to find, you know, life on other planets so that we can take them over as well, you know.
Yes, I understand that.
No, I don't think there's anything that gets me more incensed, actually. Because, you know, we're ruining this one, and now we want to go and ruin another one, or abandon this one so that we can go and ruin another one.
Yes,
and,
quite so.
You know, it's just, I find it, I become speechless, to be quite honest.
Yes.
I get totally and utterly furious at the thought of it. Not only the money that gets spent in doing it, you know, in the space travel to actually do that.
It's the blindness.
That. Yes,
really.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I hate it. So, you know, I mean, we talk about other, you know, other species, ETs or whatever, that want to come and take our world over. We get angry about that. And yet we're going to be doing the same thing. And it's just because maybe that we can't see the other people, the other species, beings on these planets. Doesn't mean to say that they're not there.
Absolutely,
it?
That's right. They may not be physical.
No, absolutely. So, you know, that's just a whole new show, whole other show anyway. But it does make me angry.
I understand that, friend, because there is so little thought retained about your own planet that it seems to be quite all right then to pollute it to the ends of the earth and not actually worry about it, because you're just simply going to go and look for another planet to molest.
Mm. Absolutely. The other question, just as soon as it's ending, we've only got about 6 or 7 minutes.
Yes, friend.
From the UK Collective, it is on the reptilian aliens that are here.
Yes.
And obviously there's a lot of talk on that, and you said that they are here as well.
Yes.
It's actually to do with, I know we have got rather political today, and we don't normally, but they were just saying about this situation about the aliens and governments and that sort of thing, you know?
Yes, there is much ado about this, and really too much information is put into it, too much input created within it. That is not factual and not based upon sound evidence. Mm. So there is a great deal of rumor, which is then not simply backed by hardened evidence, but in simple terms, is maintained as a sort of a surrogate heir, almost as though, well, it's simply put that if people don't respond to it, i.e. governments respond to it in a positive way, then it means that's exactly what's going on, rather than actually they don't have anything to say because it's so far outside of their realm of thinking or so far outside of their understanding that these situations of conspiracy simply don't hold water. I'm not saying that all are complete rubbish or anything like that. What I am saying is that you have to be very careful and you have to take a great deal of deliberate understanding that's not necessarily coming from those who are, so say, informed insiders to the situation. Because oftentimes these are simply ruses to put you off the scent of reality, off of what is actually happening. So many governments on your side of life are playing with people's lives simply because it suits them to do so, and will cite alien interest or intervention or some such thing, which is then going to turn everything around, when it's actually simply that they have given the whole condition to some other company or some other people on your side of life, in the physical form and human, who are simply taking advantage of the fact of weakness, hysteria, and other forms of malignancy created and proffered by those in power.
Mm. It's actually, I think, I don't know what you think, but it's the alien intervention, as far as obviously malevolent aliens, that is.
Yes.
There's a bigger danger, basically, for it being more subliminal, with them actually being, you know, posing as guides and that sort of thing, and being channeled by people.
Absolutely.
And saying they're somebody else and they're not, and that's actually who they are.
Yes.
This is a bigger problem than this other situation.
She's
to do
one
with
of the
our
largest,
government.
Really,
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I have to say, that and the misguided channeling of various folk, without evidence and without complete development during that process.
Yeah.
Yes, it's extremely dangerous.
Mm.
Yes.
It is.
And we're not saying that to put people off from something that of in this situation itself. But this took a great deal of time and energy to construct and bring about, and the amount of evidence that we had to bring and produce gladly, happily, was evidence enough for many to then understand of our validity, and that is as it should be.
Mm. Yes, something that we always do try to help people with, to actually, if you're going to open yourself up to channel anything or anybody, you know, do be very careful and always say your invocations and prayers and that sort of thing, and well, just be cautious, really, isn't it? Be sensible.
Yes, yes.
And everything will be fine.
Yes.
Okay, well, I think we've actually got about a minute left or something like that.
Yes, well, they will.
I'm just trying to think if there is anything else. I think I'm going to save,
no, I don't
save
think
the other
so,
one
my
until
dear
next week.
I
now.
Think it is prim and proper for me to
depart
this earthly physical life once again, friend.
Thank you.
And it is with love and light, dear friend, that we are here, and that we thank you so for allowing us to come through and to communicate in this way. We hope that we have been of help and service to all who may listen in the future. And we thank you so. And God bless upon your journey, dear friends.
Thank you. Thank you, Gregory. And we hope you've enjoyed the show. Our website, once again, is spirit-teaching.com, and you can find out lots of information about us and our work on there. And my name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.